All righty. We're going to close the budget workshop, and we are going to call the regular meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We're going to close session pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711 of the Virginia Code, paragraphs A, 29, to discuss the award of public contract involving the expenditure of public funds and discussion of the terms or scope of such contract or discussion open session would adversely affect the bargaining position and negotiating strategy of the public body and to the extent that such discussions would be aided thereby, paragraph A4, to protect the privacy of individuals in personal matters not related to public business.
Good night. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'll now poll members to serve out the best of your knowledge on public business matters, excuse me, lawfully exempt from the open meeting requirements under the Virginia Freedom of Information Act and as identified in the motion for which the closed meeting was convened were discussed and considered by the board. If any member believes that the board varied from the purposes stated for the closed meeting, please state so in a reason prior to casting a vote. Mr. Babiot?
Yes.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Yes. Williams? Mr. Barlow?
Yes.
Mr. Gentry?
Yes.
Thank you very much. The first agenda item is the invocation, which will be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. So please stand if you choose to.
Let's pray. Father God, we ask that tonight that you bless the members here, that the decisions that we make may be in your pleasing. We also ask you, Father God, to bless the citizens of Louisa, those that are protecting us in military roles, both foreign and here in America. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see any constitutional officers. The next agenda item is the adoption of the agenda. I've got four things I need to do. Then I'll get with you guys in case I'm repeating. But under information items, discussions, 3A. Physicals for all firemen EMS, a discussion, and 3B, a review of a co-titled equipment policy when we sell a piece of co-titled equipment, and then under action items, 6A is to advertise a resolution to add the Gordonsville Fire Department to be appointed and voting member of the MOG. The other one I have is to remove item number 15 from the consent agenda for this year. Might come back later. Are there any other changes? Not the chair entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all is in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next agenda item is the public comment period. This gives the public the opportunity to speak to the board for 3 minutes about anything that it would like to speak to the board about, as long as it's not coming before the board for a public hearing. So if you want to talk about anything other than a proposed real property tax increase for fiscal year 2019, now is your opportunity. I have three cards. We'll go with the cards first, and then we'll recognize folks by show of hand. When I call your name, please step up to the closest microphone, state your name, address, and your voting district, and I will start the timer, give you 3 minutes. Mrs. Hickman, you're first. I'll give you all a 15-second warning when you get there.
Hi, I'm Joanna Hickman. I live at 2240 Jefferson Highway in Louisa, Virginia. I'm in the Mineral District, and I am a proponent of continuing the broadband tower construction, and I'm here to speak in favor of funding the point-to-point wireless equipment tonight. I hope all of you will vote to to fund that and continue these projects. They're very popular with the public all over the county. I'd like to ask my supervisor, Dwayne Adams, especially to vote in favor of funding them. They're very popular in Yanceyville and Mineral District all over Lake Anna, so I hope all of you will vote to move forward with them. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next caller is Mrs. Embry.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Embry, Mineral District voting, 46 Cabin Road. I'm also the Executive Director of Volunteers of Louisa, and tonight we're passing out the invitations to the Volunteers of Louisa Award Banquet. I'm hoping that each and every one of you are able to come. So if you could please come out and help celebrate the victory of volunteers. Any questions?
Thank you so much, ma'am. We appreciate it. The next, we got a doubleheader.
Sure.
Amy and Anna.
So I'm Amy Snyder, and this is my daughter, Anna Scholl. We live at 2567 Chalk Level Road. We're in the Mineral District, and we're here about the broadband, and we want Dwayne Adams to really support the broadband. We don't have internet at our house, and it's been a real big struggle for our family. So it's been a really big struggle, actually. So my son is in all accelerated classes. He's here tonight, but didn't want to come speak. He's in all accelerated and advanced classes. He's been in the TAG program since second or third grade. And I'll ask him if he's done his homework, and he'll say he has, even though he hasn't. And so this will come up again and again throughout the week. Sunday will roll around. Library's closed. We can't show up to the library. We end up in another county at a friend's house to hurry up and cram to get his homework done at where somebody has internet. So that's been a real big struggle for us. And so his grade will slip in that particular class, or I go on to power school and he didn't submit his homework. So that's been a really big problem in our family. And it's really emotional for me, actually. Sam came in ninth in a national math contest in his elementary school years. And both he and Anna have got perfect scores three times in their SOL since they've... So I really am proud of Louisa school system. But internet has been a big struggle for us in this county. And I really, really would like to get internet at our house because it will make a big difference. You know, I do want my kids to excel in the school system, and I do believe in Louisa's school system. I think it is great, but we do need the resources within our homes so we don't have to travel outside of the county, you know, to really get this done. We do use the resources that we have at the library, but I don't want my child lying to me, you know, that he feel embarrassed that we don't have internet at our house because we can't get it.
Do you have something more to say, Anna? Okay. At school, sometimes I can't get my work done, and when I don't get my work done, I end up having to get it done at home, and we don't have internet, so usually, well, one time we went to the library because Sam had to get work done. And we went with our, my little sister, and she got into everything. So I just hope we can stay at home and do our homework so we don't have to go out.
She's two, by the way, so we're like babysitting the baby.
Thank you.
It's, you know, it's just a big struggle, so. If we, you know, if we could really try to get that moving, that'd be a big help for our family.
Okay. Miss Anna is very impressive. It's not very easy to get up and speak in front of this body sometimes or in front of the public. So I really appreciate you giving it the effort. Do you think we should get your brother to come up here and tell us why he's not doing his homework and lying to his mom? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. That's all the cards I have. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment period. The next agenda item is under recognition, a presentation of a resolution proclaiming the same page in March 2018.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and members of the public, this is a resolution proclaiming same page in March 2018. Same page is in quotation marks. Whereas same page provides citizens with the opportunity to read and discuss a single book within their community by an author appearing at the Virginia Festival of the Book, and whereas the Jefferson Madison Regional Library invites all book lovers to participate in same page, which will be held throughout March 2018, whereas the library's goal is to encourage all residents of Central Virginia to read and discuss What We Talk About When We Talk About Anne Frank by Nathan Englander. And whereas this book is a collection of 8 stories that explore themes such as trust, neighborliness, and the Jewish identity. And whereas Same Page is generously funded by Friends of the JMRL and supported by the Art and Jane Hess Fund of the Library Endowment and the Virginia Festival of the Book. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Louisa County Board of Supervisors hereby proclaims Same Page during March 2018 and encourages all residents to read What We Talk About during this time. I'm going to present this to Ms. Payne. Mr. Wade, would you help me? And I believe Ms. Payne would also like to say a few words about this as well.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I think we appreciate everything you guys have done. I just want to say personally, I think that two most important things in the world, especially for children, are playing outside and reading books. So anytime we can promote it, we're happy to do so.
Can I help you pass things out?
Yes. I'd like to thank each of you all for supporting the library. And we are so excited about this short story book by Nathan Engler, and he will be at our Northside Library on Thursday night to discuss his book. And I have copies for all of you all to enjoy reading. And thanks again for all your support of the Louisa County Library.
Thank you, ma'am. Any comments from the board? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Payne.
Thank you, Payne.
Next agenda item is a discussion on our tire disposal policy.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Farrell has a few remarks and also a handout that he has prepared regarding this. And just by way of introduction, this is just some ideas that we've talked about to help reduce some of our tire collections in the county, if you will, and to give our citizens maybe the opportunity to clean some of those up, and really just to gain input from the board regarding these things. It's not really things that many of our neighbors do, and so just would like to hear your thoughts, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Farrell.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the board. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about our tire disposal policy at the landfill. It's been in place for as far back as I can find in records. To clarify, any citizen of the county, the way the policy is currently written, is allowed to dispose of 4 tires free per day. That's per day. So I think the policy was probably written and intended to be 4 free over maybe a longer period of time, quarterly or annually. So that if you change the tires in your car, you can come dispose of them and the county takes care of them. The way it's written, we can get 4 a day every day for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. That doesn't affect commercials or businesses, it's just residents. And it is a good policy to allow free disposal. We certainly want them being recycled rather than being left on the side of the road or otherwise. But it does leave a little bit of a loophole where one of the regular conversations that I've had over the years, and I know John's having now and they have at the landfill, is if you're going to take them for free, essentially an unlimited amount, why break it up on a daily basis? Where it could either just be free all the time or limit it to maybe what the reason for the policy is, which is over a period of time, either quarterly or annually. You'll see in front of you in the tables, I'll try and summarize a little bit. I wanted to make sure you had our current fee schedule. The second table there is a sort of a count and accounting for what has happened in the last couple of fiscal years. You'll notice that we do take tons and tons and tons of tires annually. The fees generated is how much we should be getting for those tires if none of the fees were waived. The second line, fees paid, is the actual collected amount. We average about a 40% collection rate. If you go back through the tables of data, it's regular we'll see four free, two free, four free, and we very rarely charge anybody except for a commercial account or somebody who brings in five or six and doesn't want to make a second trip. We do pay to dispose these. They don't get chopped up and put in the landfill. We pay to recycle them. The cost to recycle is approximately $1.89 to $200 or $2.10 a year, depending on the volume that we get. I don't think it's really a money conversation, more of a policy in what direction you would like to see that go in, whether you'd like to see it stay the same or change.
You said $1.89 to $2 a year. Did you mean a tire?
A tire, I'm sorry. Yeah, the tire to dispose of. So our current fee is $2. So we charge right at what our collection is, including a little administrative cost. There's a couple of other factors that go into this. Through code enforcement, we have a number of both residential and commercial and business properties that have large piles of tires they're sitting. We would obviously, through code enforcement, and I know the county would like to have them cleaned up. The majority of the reason why they don't is either because we haven't gone down that avenue with code enforcement yet, we haven't gotten to that point, or with a resident, it's generally they don't have the resources to dispose of them. Oftentimes the comments that we get are that, you know, either bought a property and went to clear it and I get 300 or 400 tires back there, or whatever the reason that they're there, they're there. Along with looking at the policy, what we've discussed internally is potentially an amnesty period or an application period where we would provide amnesty for taxpaying residents, where we can take application, review that to ensure that it wasn't acquired through business or other means, and so we're not waiving those costs, but try and provide a service to the residents that allows them to clean up their property, which is, I think, what everybody would like. But maybe they can't afford that $2 per tire. The other possibility that I wanted to talk about is potentially putting out some cleanup procurement so that we code enforcement may have the ability to contract, which we don't have right now, to contract and have some of these properties cleaned up rather than waiting for generally the person to take care of themselves, and when it gets to a certain period of time, affording them the ability to accomplish the goal, but they may not have the ability to arrange for all of it, which we could certainly take care of.
Are you talking about paying for it for them?
Not paying for it for them, but paying for the services up front and then having them either pay the bill or against their property.
This would be for anybody that wants it, or just folks who get in trouble for a code complaint or something like that?
Yeah, it would become a code case that they couldn't deal with on their own. If they elected to go down that road, they could do that rather than going to court and paying a fee and then having to do it in addition to that as a softer way to accomplish the goal.
Cool. But any questions or comments from Ms. Babiak?
I just had one question. Was there, and this is just a clerical thing, I guess, it appears that you have, as far as the count and the tire intake, you've got way more than half of what the total amount for any one of the three preceding years. Was there any reason why only in 3 months there's been that large a total?
That's not 3 months. That's from July 1st of 2017. Oh. It's the fiscal year, not the calendar year.
Sorry.
It's okay.
FY.
Mr. Adams?
How would this impact, or would this have an impact on our agricultural industry, our farmers? Right now, I assume that they're able to dispose of four tires daily for free.
Yes, anybody is except for a business.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Anybody is allowed to do that with the exception of businesses. Yeah.
Okay, so this wouldn't have any negative impact?
We're more looking for some direction. The policy is in place. It is the policy, and unless it's changed, if that's the desire, it can stay exactly as it is. It just seems... from the scale and general services department and me formally being there, that there's a policy that basically allows anybody to dispose of an unlimited amount of tires if they're willing to make the trips.
Do we have people doing that, though?
Yes.
Like, how many tires are people, like...
4 a day, sometimes for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Do we know if it's because if it's a code issue that the people that are doing that, or do we have no idea where all the tires are coming from?
A little bit of both. When Ron was in code enforcement, he was working with people to clean their properties up, and they were bringing us 4 a day for as many times as they can make that trip.
Well, that's kind of what we want to happen.
I do the same. Yeah.
But yeah. Why?
That's right.
Why are we? Okay, so that's what we want to happen. We want them to clean the property.
Yes.
Would it not make sense if I have 100 tires that I need to dispose of? Let me make 2 trips to the landfill and be done with it.
Well, that's where we talk about potentially the amnesty. Sorry.
No.
I think you're perfectly right. Does it? I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody up here is worried about the 4 tire day thing.
Right.
Leave it alone. Also, in my humble opinion, I don't think that the governing body needs to worry and fool around with tires all the time. So, I mean, is anybody opposed to just saying, staff, figure out a new policy that lets you more easily deal with massive amounts of tire issues, and we don't have to...
Yeah, I think what really, just to add one more point to what Mr. Farrell said, I mean, with the real genesis of Jeff and I's conversation on this, we had a citizen call and say, you know, I got, you know, 100 tires, up to 100 tires, and I want to bring them, so why can't I just have my yearly allocation of tires on a daily free basis all at one time so I don't have to come up here once a day, you know, with 4 tires for 400 days or whatever, however it works out, to get rid of my stack of 100 tires. And
I
so
think we ought to figure out a way to do that.
That's what we want to know from you all.
Well, I would agree.
If you could bring 4 a day, then just, if we're not going to change that, then if they've got 100, y'all figure out a way to let them bring 100 in a day.
And we just have to be a little bit careful with that because there are some tire collections in the county, I think, that if folks exercise that, it could have on an unlimited basis, it could have a material impact from a cost standpoint. If somebody drops 5,000 tires on you, that's going to be a lot of money.
I think y'all hit on some good notes where it could be with advance notice, or you've got to get approval. It's not just open to where you come and do it. But I think if we just let y'all's collective heads be the measure of what's right and what's wrong, and you know, we just have a policy that lets staff decide how best to deal with tires.
We just wanted to make sure before we started heading down the road that it was not anything that anybody had any issue with. I see 2 other hands raised.
Mr. Gentry,
how do we know the tires are actually coming from Louisa County citizens? Because I know a few years ago we had some carpet that was coming outside the county and Fair Landfill and created some issues.
So that's part of the reason, rather than just saying anybody can bring, if we leave the initial policy in place or make it more restrictive where it's, you know, 8 annually or something like that, and then if you're going to deal with more than that, you make application like we do with special waste and other things, where we can make sure that, number one, that they are coming from within the county, and then the other thing is that they are coming from a resident and not a business. And I'm going to give you an example. I know that there is at least 2 or 3 code cases right now that are north of 2,500 tires, somewhere between there and 7,000. When you get to those volumes, it's a little bit difficult to tell. And if we're able to, if we say, just come, and we'll take, you know, 100 a day, it's really difficult at the scale, if it's not a marked vehicle, to prove that it's coming from a resident and not a business, where if we have a vetting period, somebody wants to apply and get that, and also, not only that, but also to deal with the volume. The way we transport them to the recycler, we can only deal with somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 at a time. So to be able to bring that in a way that we can handle it is part of the vetting and the application process, and we can schedule and deal with it.
Just where we're located, we know people like to bring tires into this county, and particularly dump them at on 64 at the wayside. They do that very often. So they will bring them into this county.
But y'all's plan would just be to get pre-authorization to bring in more than 4. You go out, take a look at their pile of tires on their property, say, yes, they've been sitting here for 15 years. Okay, here's your form. You can bring all your tires over. Doesn't that sound pretty? I mean, we're going to beat some to death, as simple as a damn tire.
People will abuse the policy.
Well, Well, now if they have to...
Yeah, they're checking.
It just gives us a little bit of a check and balance. And to Mr. Gentry's point, we are one of the only localities in the region that doesn't charge for every tire no matter what. So, you know, every surrounding county, there is a cost involved, whether you're bringing one once a year or, you know, 50. So being free, we would want to have a little bit of a check and balance there. But it would help code enforcement, I know that.
So you're talking about leaving the four in place, though, right?
Yes, sir.
And then just have an application for the rest.
Yes, sir.
Right.
We'll bring something back soon for you.
Next is a discussion on Lake Anna Small Area Study.
I'm going to leave Mr. Farrell at the lectern. There's also a printout here with some talking points on the Lake Anna Small Area Plan. This is an effort made by former supervisor Stephanie Corrin with regard to the Lake Anna growth area, some specific research and goals and objectives for that growth area. And as Mr. Gentry has correctly noted to me, that study is out there in its current draft form, and we're working our way through a comp plan revision right now. And as Mr. Farrell will talk about, there are some things that if we are going to use it as part of the comp plan, we would want to tweak. But there was a lot of discussion at the board level at the time that was being developed about what it would be used for. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Farrell, if I told you too much of what you were going to say, and let you go ahead.
So you could cover the majority of it. What you have and what was worked on is a small area plan for one of our growth areas. There's obviously a number of them. And if it wanted to be added to the comprehensive plan as an addendum or an appendix to specifying that growth area, some of the things that Mr. Gardner and I have been looking into about that is if you're going to do one of them, it may be important to look at all of them. There's a lot of good information in there. One of the things that is in there is already in the comprehensive plan. There's some redundant information by way of demographics, population information, housing, transportation that's redundant, so the document would be trimmed down significantly. There's also some specific detail that specifically or that goes into these types of plans generally, which is going to be that if you're going to dictate a growth area and you're going to go into the detail for a small area plan, it's generally a good idea to specify how you're going to meet the goals of the comprehensive plan. So if you're going to specify this as a growth area and you're going to have mixed-use development and you're going to have commercial or retail, how are you going to, what factors are you going to put in there to accomplish the goal of the board through the comp plan? You've got to make some accommodations by way of transportation, water and sewer, zoning, to try and drive what is the strategic plan. There isn't any of that information in the document that you've got in its current form. Robert and I think it would probably be important if we're going to put the effort in to do it all the way. And moving forward, if that's desirable to have a small area plan for the lake, we should probably think about putting one in place for all of the growth areas so that as you have a plan for where you want growth to happen, to be able to map out how you want it to happen, be able to control the type of growth you want in these areas. And the best way to do that is be specific with the plan. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Mr. Gardner's here as well, if you've got anything
further. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Farrell, do you have any idea how much time and effort and burden this is going to place on the staff to get this to a level of detail in which you are speaking?
I think I might defer to Mr. Gardner. He's got more experience developing them. I think it depends on...
Are you asking for just the Lake Anna area, or if we do it for every growth area?
Yes, this one, because I think we had reached a point where we had said, let's stop.
And I thought we'd got... And I think I'm quoting you, Mr. Barnes, so you correct me if I'm wrong. But I thought we'd gotten to the point where we said we didn't want to do a complete revamp to the comp plan, and definitely not one area in the comp plan. We wanted to update the data, and that's about it. Move on.
I thought our direction was to update it, revise it, update it, and move on. But the lake is an area, though, that if nothing else, our infrastructure, water and sewer, need to be planned for that area. And we have not currently done that. And I think that's very important, that our infrastructure needs to be planned for that area.
Mr. Gentry?
I'm part of responsible for putting this on the agenda, but a little history involved here. January of last year, when the presentation was made to the Board of Supervisors, Troy, I think you actually made the comment, well, you weren't, didn't say much about the existing plan, but we should be doing all the growth area plans.
Correct.
So it's kind of stalled at that point. Nothing happened. And I brought it up at the Planning Commission meeting earlier this month, and nobody really knew what I was talking about, but I thought it was a time to at least put it on the table and talk about it, because this Lake Anna plan, a lot of man hours went into it. Allison worked a lot on it, and I thought, if anything, it probably had too much detail in it. But I didn't know whether the board wanted to actually initiate, since it's something done on this, and the other growth areas, there's nothing really out there specifically, that we might want to consider putting this in the comp plan, or at least taking the 2000 plan of Lake Anna that's kind of in the back of the book. It's not really part of the comp plan, but at least let this plan take the place of that 2000 plan. So I thought it was a year's passed, and really nothing much has been done with it, and I thought it was a time to put it on the table and discuss really, what do we want to do with the plan that's been worked on for probably over a year.
And I thought we'd be making all this up, and it just sounds right in my head, but I also thought we just talked about that if we were going to do anything serious with the comprehensive plan, that we needed to basically do what we're doing now, but sit down and have a conversation about it. And then we needed to have some work sessions if we really wanted to do anything with the comprehensive plan, and that since we're dropping 50 some million dollars on a water project, that if we're going to look at growth areas, we probably ought to figure out what we want to do between Zions Crossroads and Ferncliff with adjustments to the comprehensive plan. We wanted to do this big, macro approach to how we wanted to tackle the con plan, and then and some of us, I think rightly so, know how big of a chunk of work it's going to be to redo a big chunk of the con plan if we really want to get into that. But I think that's kind of where we are. We just need to decide whether, if we're going to redo the con plan, we need to all sit down collectively and decide to redo the growth areas in our comp plan. And I don't agree with doing
Probably the Planning Commission needs to know our direction, because what they're doing right now, they finished the first three chapters, and they're just updating the data. They're not going.
That was our direction to them, because we couldn't come to an agreement on what to do with the comp plan. We don't want to dig into redoing it.
And that's the kind of attitude we've taken in the past. But also, I did talk to the director of a planning, Jefferson Planning District, and we talked one time about, we gave them $41,000, and they don't do anything for us, that maybe they could take the Lake Anna plan that we have in text and let them review that and make recommendations, because it probably needs to have that done. Although Allison and staff did a lot of hours on the plan.
It's something serious enough and big enough that maybe, whether we decide to do anything with it or not, we should sit down when we get, we can stall them out for a little bit, but when we get the budget done next month, we can sit down and have a little work session one afternoon to bring Thomas Jefferson Planning District out here, bring community development staff, and have a work session for an hour or 36 and talk about what we could do or not do with the comp plan.
I was just concerned it's been sitting there for over a year, and we probably need to really decide what the next step is going to be.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Barnes.
I think the one thing that the board did a good job of is designating the growth areas. I think we've established those. I think, did a really good job of establishing those. But I think the next step, I think, and it won't take a lot to do that, is to provide the infrastructure in those growth areas and how we want to get infrastructure to those growth areas. I think that's the next biggest thing that we need to come up with.
Do y'all think sitting down and having a work session, we'll be good to go?
Yes, I think
yeah.
so.
We're good to go. All right. Thank y'all very much. Mr. Babby.
I have one other point, and I agree with exactly what you've already decided. I was surprised at how much area, total square foot, area that was not in the growth area that exists in the Green Springs district. Oh, wow. And paralleling what you said, along 250, as far as where our county ends in Albemarle. And a lot of that is not in the current growth area, but it was intended, I think, to be included in the potential for this James River Water Project to have an impact in. So
it'd be good to bring the maps out, especially for guys that just got involved. Yeah. Bring the maps out, look up the past history, and kind of dive into it a little bit when we're, and I think it's going to be hard to do when we during a regular schedule.
Well, absolutely.
We've got 20 minutes to try to chop through something like this. All right. Thank you, guys. The 3A, physicals. Mr. Adams and I are on the MOG. We have been having some conversations. Mr. Barnes brought up LODA, which is the Line of Duty Act for insurances. We started looking at physicals. You have to have a physical to be eligible for the load of benefits. And we started talking about it in the MOG. The MOG looked at a waiver where you could sign a waiver and say you were healthy, and meant you didn't have to get the you could sign a waiver that says you were healthy is what I think it was the chief at Lake Anna said you should have to do at least. There was another mock waiver, and Chief Green, correct me if I'm wrong, but it basically said you could sign that you were healthy, and you could also sign that you were foregoing your rights to load up benefits if anything ever happened to you. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then there was a another group of the MOG who said that basically if the county provides them for free, if you're driving around a heavy-duty ambulance or a big fire truck, then you should absolutely have a physical to make sure that you're physically fit to be driving a big machine at high speeds down the road. What came out of the MOG, what they requested of Mr. Adams and I, is for us to come to the board and see if the board was of the mindset that physicals should be a requirement if you are going to be actively running fire and EMS calls. Did I cover that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Mr. Williams.
Me as a general contractor would not have any idea if somebody in the fire and rescue department, volunteer or paid, needs a physical or not. I would defer to the recommendation of the fire chief and what he is. I understand that they wanted to bring it here, but I think the board would be looking to the fire. I would be looking to the fire chief for what his recommendation is and supporting him, because he's the one that's got to run the department.
I agree with you 100%. I think we're the ones who'd have to make the requirement or say we're not going to make the requirement, but I would do it based on
yes,
his opinion as well. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think from your answers at the MOG meeting, you think we should have physicals if we're going to be.
I do.
Yep. And the county pays for them.
Sure.
And they're annual.
Yes, sir. And just to give you a little bit of, we started out with safety issues.
The microphone up.
Started out with safety issues, the personnel, but State Code 2740 requires that before you can receive the load of benefits, either the individual or the family, and they have to be shown free from hypertension, heart disease, and respiratory disease. The flip side of the safety aspect is the county pays out in these premiums roughly $30,000 for 2018. That may or may not be, hopefully not needed, but the premiums are going out there for potentially no benefit at this point.
So I guess basically the general gist of it is, do we think that, most localities that you researched require you to have a physical, whether you're volunteer or career, correct? And I think, and Orange County, Gordonsville, who's part of the MOG, they said they make their guys get physicals with their membership application.
Yes, sir.
And is there anybody here that thinks that physicals should not be mandatory?
What about our crews, like maintenance crews, like in Park and Rec? How do we treat them?
Well, this,
do they have to have physicals? Because, I mean, it could be the same issue.
I don't have any idea.
Well, they don't receive the benefit of the line of duty that's specific towards emergency personnel. And so this is just...
These people wear respirators and have to tote big hoses and do big, exert physical work, and that's the point of the physicals, and not cheap.
Exactly.
I don't think you can equate the stresses of... Of mowing, or cruising on the skag, even with really bad allergies, to walking into a burning building, as far as how it stresses your body, you know what I mean?
Mr. Morrow? The only concern I have, and I think, you know, people should be physically fit to do it, but by the same token, I would expect somebody that it's their job to run fire and EMS calls, you know, they probably stay in shape as opposed to some volunteer that's going to be coming off from work and coming to a fire station to volunteer the time. So what I would not want to do is make it so stringent that a volunteer couldn't continue to volunteer their time, which is what this county's been based on. So my concern would be, where are the requirements going to go, and is it going to be so stringent that it forces our volunteers from being able to not continue the service that they've been given?
Do you want Mr. Green to give you a description of what the physical is that folks do?
Well, can't say any names, but I mean, some of the ones, I'm assuming it's not that stringent of a... I mean, the average person could probably pass it.
Yes.
We've got some people who are volunteers, and we've got some folks who are career staff here that on the surface don't look like the healthiest folks in the world. So, I mean, I think that, I mean, without, you know, without sugarcoating it, I mean, I think that's, I mean, we've got folks that, you know, that pass it that don't look like the healthiest folks in the world.
And I think if you stayed with those guidelines, we'd probably be all right, but a lot of times when you adopt certain state codes and stuff like that, you realize you've adopted something that just pushes a lot of people right out of the window from being able to volunteer their services.
Are we adopting a state code, or are we just requiring physicals?
No, just requiring physicals. State code only requires that they be, to receive benefits, that they be shown free of respiratory disease, heart disease, and hypertension.
I guess then what I'm alluding to is, are you required to pick up, be able to bench press 200 pounds, or can you drag a dummy that weighs 50 pounds or 150 pounds?
It's a normal physical.
No, it's not a physical agility test. It's just a physical blood work.
Chief, if I fail my physical, does that mean I can't volunteer? Or I can volunteer, but I just can't receive the benefit if something happens to me? Now, that's an interesting question.
That would be for the authority to
answer. That's what they're asking us. That's what the MOG is asking us.
All right, so if we get back to the issue is, if you're suggesting, if I was to go with your suggestion, which says everybody that volunteers should have a physical, and you don't pass the physical, does the county have liability for letting you volunteer? I mean, you're volunteering, and you're not volunteering for the county, you're volunteering for the local fire department, who are their own corporation. Is that accurate?
But act as an agent of the county.
I understand. So how does this sort out? I mean, yes, you can still volunteer, and if you get killed in the line of duty, they're not going to pay your line of duty insurance?
I mean, this is a Sandra question now, isn't it?
I don't think she has enough information to make decisions. I think maybe it's going to end up being a Sandra question.
She's been filled in on it. So
okay.
I mean, I don't know if she can answer the question, but she's been filled in on a load of stuff.
Sorry.
If they didn't pass, there would be, depending on whatever the reason was they didn't pass it, there would be some time frame to correct the issue.
Well, let's say you have heart disease. Say you have heart disease. You can't correct heart disease, can you?
There's other areas of volunteerism within fire service.
I understand that. That's a whole different issue. The question is, oh, I can still volunteer, but maybe I can't run into the burning building with a respirator on.
Correct. I think it would be
maybe I'm not allowed to drive the truck, but I can certainly turn the pump off and on and make sure the guys have a hose. And I don't know. I'm making stuff up here on the fly. I mean, is that accurate?
Right.
I would say let the chief come up with a policy that he suggests and bring it back to the board for our suggestion.
Well, all I told the MOG to do was I'd come here and see if the board thought that physicals should be a requirement for being in a hazardous situation.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just do like you did at the workshop. Start left or right.
Mr. Babiak, do you think physicals should be a requirement for people in hazardous situations?
Absolutely.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Ms. Barla?
Yes, I guess.
Ms. Jenner?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So we'll report this back to the MOG. That's the point. Appreciate the help, Mr. Barnes. I'm going to try to make this one pretty simple, too. Co-titled equipment, we talked about that last time when Trevilian's volunteer fire department wanted to sell a piece of equipment. Mr. Barnes and myself were on a committee with three volunteers, Chief Green, and one member, paid staff member. I'm going to give you the layman's version of the policy that this group came up with to see what you guys think about it. If you are in support of it, we'll take it to the MOG and let them review it too. Basically, it is for what happens when you sell a co-titled piece of equipment, meaning the county and the independent entity own it together. And basically what the short and skinny of it is the policy says if the county and the station jointly own it, and it's a tanker truck, and the station wants to sell it and get another tanker truck, that they come to the county, being the fire chief and the county administrator, say they want to sell it. They sell it. They take all the proceeds from selling the tanker truck. They use those proceeds to buy the new tanker truck. And then it says another step further, if the volunteer agency owns a engine and they want to sell the engine and they want to buy a chief's car or they want to buy a tanker or they're not replacing what they're selling,
like for like,
then the dollars from the sales price go back to the county and the volunteer station based on the percentage or percentage of money that they paid for the piece of equipment. Is that pretty clear? Does the board have any objections to that policy on the surface, or can we go ahead and take that?
Mr. Chairman.
What's the third one?
If they want to change it for something like a parking lot repair or something like that.
But if they want to change it, if they want to sell it and they want to do anything with the money other than replace it with a like piece of equipment, then their portion goes back to them. The taxpayers' portion comes back to the taxpayers' representatives, which is us. And then they can go through a regular procurement process or a request for funding if they want to be able to use the rest of it for something else. But it's not automatic.
When the situation where we had, I think they thought they were going to get $35,000 for the, I guess it was Trevades that was replacing the vehicle, and then they came back and said they had an offer for $10,000 less. Would that situation come back to the board as well?
It doesn't address it in the policy of when it comes back.
Remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. If the numbers change, I mean, I'm open to, I don't really have any sort of pride of, I mean, I didn't offer it anyway, but yeah. How that's done, I mean, I think what happened with Trevilians is a good example of how the government being slow sometimes can lose a sale. I think that if the chief and the county administrator agree on a fair sales price with the volunteer chief, then it ought to be able to just roll without us getting involved in it.
No issue with that. I'm just thinking if the company itself up and decided they wanted to sell something, it would get...
It still has to get approval from Keith and Christian. And we still have to kind of approve it, too, because we're on the title. I don't think we could...
That's right.
We can't delegate that ability to them, but we can say... They have the. We can say they can sell it without specifying an amount, and then they can. We can leave the negotiations to the county administrator, the fire chief, and the chief of that station, or whoever the designee of that station is.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Adams.
I'm going to quote my grandfather. Since we're talking about money, my grandfather used to say he knew a lot of different ways to make different people mad at him. The one way to make everybody mad every time was mess with their money. So since we are talking about money and co-titled equipment, which involves every station in the county, may include stations in the county.
Three. Out of 11. Maybe
more. Would it be a good idea to send this to the MOG to get their opinion?
That is the only purpose of this that I said in the beginning was to get the board's thought and feelings on this, and then you and I are going to take it back to the MOG.
Okay, that's fine.
Good to go? Everybody fine with it?
Yep.
We'll take it back to the MOG the next MOG meeting, get them to take action on it, bring it back to this body to take action on it the next meeting.
Good.
9 minutes.
We can, They're pretty quick.
What?
The first two action items are pretty quick ones.
Action item, resolution 2018 update emergency operations plan.
This is a required update of the EOP that has to take place every 4 years. The only updates that are in this one, and Chief Green can add further detail if you need him to, is contact information, a few name changes, et cetera, et cetera. We did already pick up a couple of typos in the version that is in the board packet that we need to fix. Just as Scrivener's errors, but this is a very minor but yet required review and update of the EOP.
Mr. Gentry.
One quick comment on page nine of the plan under citizen involvement. CERT is mentioned here. I think CART should also be in that item because they are involved with the recovery part of the emergency plan.
CART is included in the comprehensive plan.
But I don't see
one of the annexes. It was not listed under the basic plan because they fall within the initially fell within the CERT.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think they should be separate.
Yeah.
I move to approve with the additions of the spell out of CART.
And the correction.
And correction.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next is an authorization utilizing... Utilization of remaining FY18 ambulance rechassis CIP funding.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board. We had approximately $69,000 left over in the capital improvements project for ambulance rechassising, and we would like to use that money to buy required equipment for the ladder truck that the county has
put in. Okay. Second. Any further discussion? Mr. Barlow.
Yeah. When we looked at this thing, I was under the impression that truck was going to be serviceable for the $35,000. With minor things as equipment and stuff like that. And at that time I said, you know, I would not vote for when it went, you know, to add another $50,000 to it. Well, here, I can't imagine what kind of equipment we're going to be putting on a truck that is already supposed to be serviceable that costs $69,580. So that $35,000 truck has gone to $104,580. And if you add in the $10,000 we didn't get for the Cavillion's truck that we were, when we dropped that back, this truck is now up to $114,580. So I'm not going to support it.
I'm happy to have the chief go through the equipment listing, Mr. Barlow. They don't, unfortunately, sell these things when you buy them used, fully equipped. They will take the equipment off one and place it on another. But I'm happy to provide any further specificity regarding equipment.
It's a ladder truck, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So it's an additional truck. It's not a replacement truck. We didn't have any truck to take stuff off and put it on this one.
You had some. Did we have one at the Pine Crossroads?
We had some.
I can see Mr. Barlow's point, and I agree with him. I think it would be good in the future if we ever do something like this, instead of saying we have a $35,000 truck to buy to say we have a $35,000 truck to buy, plus we're going to buy $60,000 worth of stuff to go on this $30,000 truck and do it all in one
space. That's my point. That is what that I was asking when we spent the $35,000. What's this truck going to cost us to make it operational? And I think at the time we were talking about maybe a few thousand dollars for some hoses and stuff like that. But here we're $70,000 to put onto this truck.
I understand what you're saying. If we don't support this, then we've got a $35,000 truck that doesn't have anything on it, we can't do anything with it.
Well, whatever, but
I understand. I understand your point.
I wasn't going
perfectly clear.
Add another $50,000.
I'll agree. Concur with Mr. Brown. Because the question was asked if the truck was ready to go into service. And my understanding was we were pretty close to maybe $5,000-$7,000 worth of service work.
And I don't know if the definition of into service. I'm thinking that staff might have thought we meant into service meant
of the vehicle.
Mechanically ready to go.
Yes.
But so I think maybe we were under the impression that into service meant start running calls, and into service meant the engine turns over and the tires have air in them and it can go. But I think that all in all, you know, us asking our questions, it was probably poor communication all the way around, and we need to be more detailed in our questions, and staff needs to be more detailed in their answers.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because there's a big gap between
35 and 100.
I certainly thought I was explicit in what I was asking, to put this thing on the road, be operational, run calls. And the very thing I said I wasn't going to do is what we're here looking at tonight.
Mr. Babiot?
What I was going to bring up is what Mr. Kristen just brought up a little bit about we had a ladder truck at Zion, and this is the truck that we were going to replace that ladder truck with. So what I'm a little mystified about, if that truck, and I know it was taken out of service because it was broken, but it had all the equipment that was then required at one time for that that truck to be serviceable. So what would happen to all that equipment that was on that truck?
On the previous truck, it was not fully stocked as a truck or a tower ladder. There was equipment on it, but it wasn't for truck operations, which we've utilized that equipment. When we initially looked at purchasing this, there was some talk about having it equipped and selling it with the equipment on it, but that changed after the fact. And we have quite a bit of equipment on it, but it's not enough, and it would not take up that entire $69,000, what it was. We just didn't have a price at the time, nor do we right now, but we are getting a list.
Do y'all want to hold off on it until we get the list and see what it is to give everybody a better understanding?
I'd like to see it.
Let's do that.
Agreed.
The next one is to approve or order contract for license for point-to-point wireless equipment.
2 minutes, sir.
We have a
second.
Motion. Somebody make it.
Move.
I thought the wind made it.
You didn't make it, did you?
No.
Mr. Barnes made it. Mr. Gentry seconded it. Any further discussion?
I think just one point. This has nothing to do with the actual tires. This is the radio equipment that's going point-to-point.
From the tower to the tower.
Yeah.
It's not a physical tower.
It doesn't affect our 10 towers or whatever it is we're putting up.
All those in favor? Mr. Adams?
I did want to make a statement before we vote. You know, the board has voted twice to fund the broadband towers. So this $113,000 is part of that $1.1 million preparations, and I don't think I have to restate my concern on public funding for these towers. However, I am pleased and gratified to see that the Broadband Authority now has five different approaches that they're working simultaneously for internet solutions for the county so that you can get your homework done. Quit lying to your mama. And the other thing that this equipment does is will also be utilized by not only the WISP, but by the county government, the school system for communications. It will also be used for police and fire as a secondary communications plan in case we have cellular service disruption, which we did during the earthquake. So for that reason, and for those reasons, I am going to support this motion to appropriate this money.
And I'm going to support it, too, and I've never voted in favor of any of this stuff, just because that young lady in the audience did such a good job speaking, okay? All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Next agenda item, really quick, at the request of the MOG, I didn't think anybody there disagreed with it. And Mr. Adams and I agree with it. We would like the board to support adding Gordonsville, who's, we get a lot of bang for our buck there. We give them a few $1,000s a year. They run 300 to 400 calls a year in Louisa. We'd like them to be a voting member of the MOG. Ms. Robinson has prepared something for you guys to look at. We can't vote on it tonight, but we do need to vote tonight to advertise it because it needs to be advertised. So I'd like to make a motion that we do that.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next agenda item is a public hearing. So we have a presentation by Ms. Colvin.
Yeah, Ms. Colvin is going to give a few brief remarks on that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. As per the requirement of the Code of Virginia, Section 58.1-3321, when the county's annual real property assessment results in an increase of 1% or more in total real property taxes levied, the county shall reduce its tax rate in the upcoming year so that the rate is no more than 101% of the previous year's tax levies, or the county may maintain its current rate after conducting a public hearing. So that's why we're here tonight. Our current year assessed value exceeds last year's total assessed value by 3.09%. The lowered tax rate would be 70.5 cents per hundred of assessed value, and our current tax rate is 72 cents for the difference of 1.5 cents per hundred, or a 2.8% increase. We propose maintaining the current tax rate of 72 cents.
Any questions for Ms. Collin before we open up the public hearing? Seeing none. We'll open the public hearing. Is there any member from the public here to speak on taxes?
Dave Holzman stepped up.
David, you got anything?
David,
you writing a nice article about taxes? Thanks. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the board. Mr. Barlow.
Ready.
Hi.
I wasn't ready, but
we got to pay for that internet. We got to pay for the internet somehow. Mr. Barlow.
I know. I don't want my text.
I had asked Mr. Goodwin to so that he wasn't blindsided to
thank
have
you.
Where are we in relation to 2009 taxes?
So, Mr. Barlow correctly noted that 2009 was, or really 2008 or 2009, depending on where calendar and fiscal year is fall, was kind of a high watermark for assessments prior to the Great Recession, if you will. And I'm talking while I'm pulling up my Excel spreadsheet. In 2009, which is really slow to come up, our total assessments were right around $4.46 billion. That's total assessments, not total taxes. Total assessments were around $4.46 billion. And those went down, as we've talked about in years past, throughout the recession. And just last year, in 2018, we came back over that for the first time. So we were back at the 2009 mark for the first time in 2018. So we were at 4.53 last year, and it's a little over, again, I can't get it to pull up, a little over 4.7 this year.
But that's from 2018 buildings, not 2009 buildings.
Yeah, that's correct. And the other point I want to make as well is I didn't have time because that request just came in today. Those numbers are inclusive of new construction.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think
your base is bigger.
The base is a lot bigger. So I'm not saying that every parcel in the county is being assessed at a lower amount than it was in 2009, but as a whole, we've just barely ticked back up, not barely.
Well,
last year we came up over it for the first time.
What my point was, we did not raise the tax rate, you know, when things were falling. to float that so that you had the same revenue. We left the tax rate the same, so we continually went down. So now we've gotten back to where we were in 2009 and slightly more than that.
And your tax rate has, you didn't during the recession, but since then you have raised the tax rates,
exactly.
Even though you're not proposing to raise them this year.
No,
somebody else did. Mr. Barlow did.
No, sir, you did. You did not. A different board.
But we had to do that. I have their fund balance.
Yeah. You did.
And we use my fund balance to keep taxes low.
That is right.
So make sure you know that.
Yes, sir.
Did we get a motion in a second? I can't remember before we.
I think we had discussion.
We did. We discussed.
Okay. I'd be prepared to make a motion.
Go ahead, sir.
I move we leave the tax rate constant.
Any further discussion?
I'd like to see it decreased.
All the stuff you asked for tonight?
That's like dumb
talking,
Willie.
I just have to say it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Are there 6-1?
I think it was 6-1.
There are plenty of people who think that our assessment is going to tie to off the right lower.
We'd have to stop spending it. All righty.
I know we've already voted, but I will add, if you look at last year's rate of inflation, I looked at it again just now. Rate of inflation for 2017 was 2%. Rate of inflation this year, and I see our finance director nodding her head, and we're about there for now. So
yeah, it's probably 2.5, almost 3 this year. But
yeah,
year.
So
2.2.
So
we're right in February.
2.2.
Yeah,
March wasn't out there.
So, okay.
All righty. Committee reports. Y'all got our MOG report today. With all the stuff we brought.
Good.
Any other committee reports? Board appointments.
Hey, I got some.
Mr. Babiak, go ahead.
I did have an individual just recently announced that he's going to resign, and that is on the Broadband Commission, so I am going to be making a recommendation for appointment on that from the Green Springs District in the future.
Mr. Bolo.
On the Parks and Rec Committee, I'd like to appoint Sarah Parkinson. And on the broadband, I have Mr. Brian Sullivan. His term is not quite up yet, but he has not been able to attend meetings. He's all over the country with his business. So I'd like to appoint Timothy Lane to fill out the rest of his appointment.
You got to remove somebody.
Yeah.
Remove.
Then what I would ask to do is remove Brian Sullivan from the Broadband Authority so that I can.
So he made that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now you want to appoint Sarah to Parks and Rec and who to Broadband?
Timothy Lane to the Broadband Authority.
And Sarah Parkinson to Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Are there any other board appointments? Chair, take a motion to approve those?
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Goodwin?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I have a number of items to bring to your attention tonight. I'd like to ask that you and this and future board packets pay particular attention to your monthly reports from the departments in the county. You'll start to see further data and metrics on a monthly and annual basis for each one of our departments. You started to see some of those already in General Services, Recycling, Parks and Rec. The newest addition to that flock is Community Development. And what you'll see in there is building permits over the past few months. We're going to start looking at those on a quarterly basis as well. And we're starting to do that for all of our departments. Part of the effort in appointing an assistant county administrator was to really start taking a look at our strategic planning and future planning. And having these metrics in place allows us to not only look at what we've done in the past, but also to forecast our needs for the future. If we get a glut of site plans coming in, we know the building permits are coming along with them, et cetera, et cetera.
So this is intended to prepare the board and the budget and everything that is associated therewith for the future needs of the county and our citizens. So specifically the stats for community development on page 104, parks and recs, revenue and expenditure details on page 123. Also, there's some additional statistics that I requested. I thought they were interesting from the Reentry Council. They're on page 138 if you have a moment to flip there. If you don't have a moment to flip there. These are just the stats for fiscal year 2017, so last fiscal year. And it's a listing of all the services that the Reentry Council provides and how many of their clients, if you will, utilize those services. But the blue bar to the far left of that graph is the one that's kind of the most impressive. You all are funding the Reentry Council because they are putting people that come out of incarceration. They're plugging them back into our community so that hopefully they don't become a recidivism statistic. And that number on the far left is 75%. So that means that 75% of the people that came out of incarceration in CBRJ in 2017 got a job. So they're really doing a good job, and I think that's great. A couple other things to bring to your attention. There are a couple of VDOT reports. There was a safety study at Jewett School Road that was requested by the board. VDOT's going to put in better signage and sight distance improvements. That's on page 143. And also the bridge at Apple Grove Road and Cub Creek, which I believe is in your district or your district, one of the two.
I think it's mine.
I think it's yours. It's going to be closed later on this year for replacement for a few months.
What so. Route is it on?
Apple Grove.
681.
Oh. Apple Grove and Cub. Okay.
Yeah, the one that cuts around from 33 to 522. So, I'm sorry.
Well, cutting through going to 522.
That's right.
There's the one at the bottom right here if we come to those.
It'll
keys.
Be this fall. That's but
that's you.
It'll be knocked down for a little while, so.
And then a couple of, old Apple Grove Road already got replaced.
They got,
Apple Grove Road, they replaced that bridge.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. And then just a couple of days, the Big County Easter Egg Hunt is on March the 24th. Put Heritage Day on your calendar for April the 24th. And then also the next Household Hazardous Waste Day will be on April the 21st, and those are very popular in the county. Thank you for your time. That concludes my remarks.
Mr. Goodwin, I got an email today about a resolution for somebody, a lady. Was it a local lady that sent that to us, or is that just
from UDA?
Oh, from the, regarding the cancer screening?
Yes.
Yes. You want to do that?
Basically, it's a resolution in support of colon cancer screening, a request from UVA.
And they're claiming March as...
Yes.
Yeah, it's
after
the deadline, so.
We'll just tell her, y'all just want to talk questions next year, and we'll look out for colons then, too. All right, Mr. Babiak.
I have a question, Mr. Goodwin.
Yes, sir.
It's regarding recycling.
Okay.
I don't know if it's happened or you've been given any notice for the rest of the county, but the New Springs District got issued a notice as far as recycling capabilities with time. They no longer provide recycling services.
Okay.
And so, as a result, on a recent trip to our county recycling spot,
right,
it's all time equipment. So I asked the guy there, I said, well, you know, you closed down saying you were going to get out of the business and you're still doing business here with the county. What's that?
That's Mr. Farrell.
Vanderland.
You're talking about...
Vanderland closed down Vanderland. Residential.
Yes.
Vanderland no longer accepts residential commingled recycling. They do take recycling that's already broken out. So that's why they can't take it from Spring Creek, if that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
They can't. They can. You could still get a trash company that will come in, but you have to separate all of your recycling and then give it to them that way. Vanderland closed down their residential component where they take commingled trash. They don't take it anymore.
But I thought I saw Vanderland at our recycling.
It's all separated at our sites.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So they still take that, and it's not residential. Because they're taking it from the county, and it's separated. They don't take it if it's your fried eggs and your cardboard mixed in the same can.
Yes.
But if you separate your cardboard, they'll still take it.
You have to keep your fried eggs separate.
Yeah, yeah. I eat all my fried eggs.
So
chair, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the bills for the first half of March.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the board meeting minutes from March 5th.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Chair, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
7:14 with a public hearing in bad.
Market.